Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today our program is going to be based on questions that you, the viewer, have sent in and want Pastor Brock to answer. Pastor Brock, our first question today is, why are the Baptists so afraid of speaking in tongues?
Yes, I think this was a Pentecostal lady that wrote this, and now she's going to a Baptist church where they don't speak in tongues, and Pentecostals are more known for speaking in tongues. And I think the answer is, it depends on what Baptist. There are Baptists who speak in tongues, and there are Baptists who don't. My guess is this is what's going on. Some very conservative Baptists are what is called cessationists, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased when the New Testament was completed. And their understanding is, well, we don't need speaking in tongues or prophecy anymore because we have the Bible. My problem with that is the Bible never says the gifts of the Holy Spirit stop when the Bible is completed. It never says that. We still need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Healing is a gift of the contributing. All the gifts of the Spirit we still need. So I don't see anywhere that says tongues and prophecy are nixed with the completion of the New Testament. So I think we need to be open to all the gifts.
So do all believers, should they be able to speak in tongues?
Well, I see, that's what some Pentecostals teach. But Paul the Apostle said, you know, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than any of you. But he also said, do all speak in tongues? He said, no, not all speak in tongues. Some have this gift, some have that gift. So when a church promotes that you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit, that's not in the Bible.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a dangerous teaching, I think.
Why do some churches say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and others say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost, same thing. One is Old English and one is New English. When the King James when the King James Bible was translated, they used the word ghost for spirit. So Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is the way they said it during the 1600s. So it's really no difference.
The same.
Yeah.
My wife and I are grieving. Our son was a committed Christian and he took his life. Will we see our son in heaven?
Yeah, this was a sad one. And you know, I'm going to give you my 10 cents on this. Some people think you can't go to heaven if you commit suicide because you don't have time to ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. My response to that is all of us will die not having time to ask for forgiveness of all our sins. Mm-hmm. You don't know half your sins. And if my salvation depends on me having to confess all my sins in time, none of us go to heaven. But my salvation depends on Christ on the cross. It's grace alone that saves me. Now, I had a conservative Lutheran pastor when I was 13. He was my confirmation pastor, and we asked him that question. And he said, well, it does say in 1 John, we know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. Well, if you murder yourself, you're a murderer, so you won't go to heaven. And, you know, I believed that because he was the pastor, but I don't know a verse that says the only unforgivable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So here's what I told this couple. If your son truly knew Christ, all of his sins were paid for, including suicide. Mm-hmm. Now, so if his life was toward Christ, he trusted in Christ, he did something evil in his last moment, I think Jesus died for that sin too.
Providing some comfort for this family.
I do that because I do think putting all the scriptures together, that's the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Does God hear the prayers of the unbeliever?
David said in the Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God does not hear. So Mona, if you're planning on sinning and you're an impenitent sinner, even though you say you're a Christian, if you're regarding iniquity in your heart, it says God doesn't hear those prayers. Now, does God in one sense hear them? Well, he hears everything. He's God. He's omniscient. Mm-hmm. He knows everything. But in the sense of hearing to answer, no.
Yeah. What does 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 mean when it says that, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking about the spiritual gifts, you know, prophecy, speaking in tongues, and healing, etc. And, you know, maybe there were people that somehow are cursing Christ at their services. And Paul writes, I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I think that means when you're, if you say and believe Jesus is your Lord, you can't do that unless the Holy Spirit is moving you to do that. This is why I don't believe in free will. People don't like my view on this, but I don't think anybody comes to Christ on their own power. We all love sin too much. It's only when the Holy Spirit overcomes us, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So that's what I think it's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will our beloved pets be in heaven? Any scriptures that verify that?
Talk about a question that gets you in trouble. Now, Mona, I'm giving my opinion. Will I see Mitzi in heaven? And I said on the show earlier, I think probably not. Jesus died for human beings, and we have eternal souls. Does my dog have an eternal soul? Only the Lord can answer those questions, but I don't see any indication that our pets go to heaven. And one lady got really upset. Pastor Brock, I will never watch your TV show again because you said my dog won't be in heaven. I'm thinking, is it that important?
To some people.
I'm sorry. You know, the thing that's going to make heaven heaven is Jesus, not Mitzi. You'll be very happy if you're in heaven, and I don't think you'll be looking around for your dog.
Okay.
Now, I could be wrong. Maybe Mitzi will be there, and maybe that will comfort people, but is there a Bible verse that says our pets go to heaven? Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we have a few angel questions.
Okay.
Do our guardian angels take or usher us to heaven after our death?
Well, let's talk about guardian angels. And I believe in guardian angels, but does the Bible teach that every human being has their own guardian angel? And I've kind of taught that, but to back up a little bit, Jesus said, be careful how you treat children because their angels behold the Father's face in heaven continually. So that teaches that children have angels. And can you take that verse to mean every human being, every child has their own angel? Well, that might be a little overboard. But I do think we have, he says they're angels, so I think there are angels that watch over children and adults. And regarding angels, Hebrews says, are they not ministering spirits sent out to help those us who are going to be saved, elect? So do we all have a guardian angel? I think we all have angels. And do they come get us when we die and take us to heaven? The only verse that I know of on that is Luke 15, or is it 16, where the poor man dies and the angels take him to Abraham's bosom. So there's an indication that angels are involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And another one, can we have more than one guardian angel?
Again, I think, who knows?
Who knows?
But, you know, the angels exist and that they're real. And they can appear as humans. Hebrews 12 says, be careful how you treat people because it could be an angel. Angels have, how does he put it? Be hospitable to strangers. Some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. So there you go.
And when is our guardian angel assigned to us? At birth? When we are baptized? Your thoughts?
We don't know the answer to that. If indeed every human has their guardian angel for their entire life, if that's true, when was that angel assigned? It never says.
Okay.
Jesus, again, the closest verse on this is Jesus saying that be careful how you treat kids because their angels are up in heaven beholding the face of the Father.
Okay. Have you ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit?
I've never heard an audible voice, I don't think. Maybe when I was in ninth grade, I thought I heard something, and but I don't know if that was the Lord. But I've never heard the audible voice. I'm not saying God can't do that. But I think the Holy Spirit talks to us mainly through Scripture. Sometimes he'll send somebody to you and they just say something you know is from the Lord. Or you'll hear a song on Christian radio and, boy, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Sometimes a dream. God might give you a dream. But you've got to test all this. Because sometimes it can be hard to discern, is that my emotions or is that the Holy Spirit? You got to be careful on that.
And that's the second question. How do we know the voice of the Holy Spirit and not the voice of a false or evil spirit?
Yeah.
So discernment.
Paul the Apostle says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. I mean, Mona, I remember one of my seminary professors saying that a woman in his church came into his office and said, "The Lord told me you and I are to be lovers." Well, she had her own husband. He had his own wife. That wasn't the Lord that told. Anything that contradicts Scripture, which says, do not commit adultery, or anything.
Exactly.
If you get a dream or a vision or somebody gives you a word from the Lord and it contradicts Scripture, that's a $3 bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. Does God hear all our prayers? Why are some prayers answered and some are not?
I think the answer to that is he hears all of our prayers, unless we're regarding iniquity in our heart like we talked about. And he does answer all of our prayers. Some of the times he says no.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Billy Graham's wife said, "I have learned to thank God he did not answer all my prayers. If so, I would have married the wrong man 6 times. So God answers all of our prayers, but sometimes he says no.
That's right.
I mean, Paul had that thorn in the flesh in, mm-hmm. what is it, 2 Corinthians 12? 3 times he asked God to take it away, and God said no.
Mm-hmm. We don't know. We don't always have the answer.
No.
Here's another question. I do believe that the Bible tells us that women are not to be pastors. However, is it still applicable for today's world? My heart thinks that it is wonderful for any person to preach the truth.
Some people think I'm a dinosaur, mm-hmm. but I don't believe women should preach over adult men. And I know that goes against the feminism of our day. But Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, women are not supposed to preach over adult men. And so I think it's inappropriate if a woman is the pastor preaching over a church. Mm-hmm. Now some people would say, yeah, but Paul was just talking to the church of we'll say Ephesus back then, but that's when women were not educated. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the way Paul argues. He says, mm-hmm. a woman should not preach over men, for, here's his argument, it was not the woman who was created first, it was the man who was created first. Mm-hmm. It was not the man who fell into deception, it was the woman, Eve, who fell into deception. So I think it still holds, mm-hmm. even if you're educated, it still holds. God made men and women different,
mm-hmm.
and we need to respect those. I mean, Mona, I can't have a baby. So I'm not going to go through my life with a chip on my shoulder. What do you mean I can't have a baby? Patriarchal sexism. No. Mm-hmm. God made us different, and it's good. These differences are good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I would just say read 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul's argument is not culture or education. It's the way God made us.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you, I think churches often that have women pastors don't flourish, and you won't have a lot of men in those churches.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's the way we're made. We're,
mm-hmm.
Men flourish. Men are the ones to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't flourish otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am a nurse, and throughout the years, I have preached to many grown men in the hospital room. I cannot believe that I am wrong in teaching them about Jesus and eternal life. I feel that it is one of the reasons that God put me in this position. I believe it is my mission.
And I agree it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's talking about sharing the gospel, evangelizing the people in her hospital room.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's talking about a woman being the preacher over a congregation. That's not fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people just don't like my view on this. But again, we are to follow Scripture, not
mm-hmm.
the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So sharing the gospel with a man,
women
perfectly
can, actually,
fine.
Women can do everything men do except 2 things. They're not to preach over adult men. I think women can teach women. The Bible talks about that.
Right.
I think women can teach children. But 2 things, women are not to preach over adult men, and they're not to be the rulers in the church, the elders. The elders of the church in the New Testament are men.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus chose 12 male disciples. He didn't choose 12, 6 women and 6 men.
Mm-hmm.
He chose 12 men. And I think that's the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are not to eat with impenitent sinners. We are not to socialize with them. Then how are we to bring sinners to God? If they are not welcome in the church and Christians don't visit with them, how do they have a chance at heaven?
Mm-hmm. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, not to associate with any so-called brother who's living in sin, he's not saying you can't associate with unbelievers. But if somebody says he's a Christian, goes to your church, and he's living in impenitent sin, Paul says, do not associate with that person, because it confuses people.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Joe going to church. He's got 3 lovers, and he's going to church? Is that a Christian? And Paul would say, drive that person out of your church until they repent, because
mm-hmm.
it confuses people otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we're to associate with non-believers and share the gospel with them. But if they're a member of your church living in impenitent sin, Paul says the elders need to deal with that. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but you need to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My husband and I are hoping you can provide guidance to us regarding our son. Just recently, he notified us that he is seriously considering turning Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just total disclosure here, I'm a Lutheran. Lutherans wear these too, but a lot of people think I'm Catholic because I wear this. But I'm a Lutheran, and I don't doubt there are many Catholic people who are love the Lord, they're saved, they're going to heaven because they trust in Christ alone for their salvation. Nevertheless, I can't be a Catholic. Let me give you a few reasons why. Purgatory. When we die, we go to heaven or hell. We don't go to a place for maybe hundreds of years and have our sins purged off. Jesus did that on the cross. Purgatory is not in the Bible. Indulgences are certainly not in the Bible. That's when Martin Luther in the 1500s, who was a Catholic monk, when he heard that they were selling salvation to raise money for the building of beautiful St. Peter's Cathedral, give the church money and the Pope will grant grandma to get out of purgatory earlier. What? I mean, purgatory is not in the Bible. Indulgences aren't in the Bible. Praying to Mary and the saints. In the Bible, you pray to God. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the big reasons I personally would encourage people not to join the Catholic Church. Find a good evangelical Bible preaching church. Again, I'm not saying there aren't Catholics who are Christian people. I believe there are. Mm-hmm. But there's enough. I mean, we need to be clear, Ephesians 2, that we're saved by God's grace alone, not by our good works. Catholic Church is not clear on that. That's my opinion. Of course, they could say, well, yeah, a lot of Lutherans think they get to heaven by being good. You're right. Confusion is everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we're only saved by Christ's death on the cross, not by our good works. 2 Corinthians, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
Is purgatory mentioned in the Bible?
No.
Where did they come up with that idea?
Church tradition. You know, after years, these traditions seep into the church. And again, if it's biblical, you can believe in a tradition, but if it's not biblical, out it goes.
Mm-hmm. So you have to know the word.
You do.
Got to read
yourself.
And study God's word.
Yeah, don't
for yourself.
Say, hey, my pastor went to seminary. Mm-hmm. No. Or my priest is a. Mm-hmm. No. Read the Bible yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to know the word of God. You're right. If the sun was not created until the fourth day, where did the light come from?
Yeah. Here's some. This man wrote in some questions mm-hmm. on Genesis. On the fourth day, the sun is created, but before that, there's light is created. So somehow God made the light without the sun. That's about all I can tell
mm-hmm.
you. But so there you go.
Maybe God illuminates.
And you know, this is going to get me in trouble with some people, but because the sun isn't created until the fourth day,
mm-hmm.
when it says about the 6 days of creation,
mm-hmm.
is it possible the first 3 days were not 24 hours? I think it's possible because
mm-hmm.
there wasn't a sun yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people believe in 6 24-hour literal days of creation. Fine. But I think sometimes I know of a denomination that you can't teach at their seminary unless you believe in 6 literal 24-hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much. I think we need, I'm a very conservative Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need some wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
If the sun is not created till the fourth day, how do you know it was 24 hours for the first 3 days?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. What is the purpose of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil? Didn't God know they would sin?
Yeah. Well, if God is God, if he's all-knowing, he knows the future,
mm-hmm.
he knew when he put the tree in the garden that they'd sin. He knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he put it in the garden then? Well, that's a bit of a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
The best I can give you, and this is not a full answer, but in Romans, I think, 11, the Apostle Paul says, God has shut up all men unto sin that he might have mercy on all. I think it was St. Augustine writing in the, 400s, said his point was, Adam and Eve knew about the love of God. We know more about the love of God than Adam and Eve. They didn't know about the cross, that God would go that far to save us.
Mm-hmm.
We know about the cross. So God, this is my opinion, God allowed us to fall into sin. God allowed that tree in the garden so that he could have mercy and show his love on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I know that doesn't answer everything, but it's partial.
And some things, we don't have the answers to everything,
no,
do we?
No, that's right. No.
Why did God spare Adam and Eve when he made it clear what would happen to them?
Yeah. God says, the day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And people say, well, they didn't die. Yes, they did. They died spiritually.
Yes.
And then the physical death followed. Mm-hmm. The reason we still die today is because we inherit Adam and Eve's sin. Nobody, no human, will get out of this life alive. We're all going to... The only out is if we're alive at the second coming. Then
yes.
We're changed and we don't have to die. But given that is not in our lifetime, hopefully it is, everybody's going to die because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
We all sin.
We all inherited that.
We did.
Where did Cain's wife come from?
Yeah, and this can be a gotcha question, because Adam and Eve are created, and their children, Cain and Abel, and then it says Cain gets kicked out and goes to the land of Nod, where he knew his wife. Well, where did she come from if they're the only humans? Well, it doesn't say that he found his wife in the land of Nod, is it? It says he knew his wife there. He had sexual relations with her there. So I think what can happen is he had his wife here with his family and everybody else, and then they went to the land of Nod where he knew his wife sexually, and that's mm-hmm. when he had children. So,
do you think God created more people?
That's a question. Either for the incest is wrong,
mm-hmm.
but is it possible that for the very first family, that was the way the human race started? I think it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then later God condemns incest. It's another possibility is God created others along with Adam and Eve, but something, Adam and Eve have to pass their sin on to everybody. So they are the first people. So some of this, again, is a little confusing. So there you go. Yeah.
Okay. Exodus 32:14, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. If God had a plan, why would he need or want to change his mind?
Mm-hmm. There's a few places where it says God changed his mind or that God was sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God was sorry that he made Saul king over Israel. And during the time of Noah, God saw that the implication of man's heart was only evil continually,
mm-hmm.
and God was sorry that he made man on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if God knows everything from the beginning, why is he sorry if something happens? Because
mm-hmm.
he could have prevented it. And I think, some of this stuff is beyond me, but there's the short term and then the long. You can be sorry about something short term,
mm-hmm.
but allow it because you know of the long term benefit. So maybe you're sorry that your son has to go into drug treatment for 3 months and you have to pay so much money. You're sorry about the whole situation. But long term, it's going to be good for him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some of that is what's going on. God is sorry short term that he made King Saul king of Israel. But long term, then comes David, from which the Christ will be born.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, these are hard questions.
Mm. A viewer writes, I was baptized as an infant. There seems to be different thoughts from different pastors about baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what the Bible says? Am I wrong in feeling that I have already been baptized and then I was then baptized by the Holy Spirit when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a Lutheran, so you're going to get the Lutheran view. One Lord, one faith, one baptism is what the book of Ephesians says.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll have an adult come and say, I was baptized as a baby, but now it really means something and I've accepted Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Would you baptize me now? And I say, no. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So I don't think there's a need to get baptized a second time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I've said this before, some people, if you baptize them every time they come back to Christ, you got to do it 5 or 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
So one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Our Baptist friends have a different view, but that's what Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, Episcopalians, Presbyterians would say.
How do you feel about rededicating? Maybe they fall away, but then they want to
I think we should rededicate our lives to Christ every day.
I agree.
Yeah.
Every day
yeah.
we
You don't
fail.
Need to get baptized every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You said angels don't have wings. Ezekiel chapter 10 talks of wings on cherubims.
Mm-hmm.
Angels closest to God. Can
yeah.
you?
Well, yeah, in Ezekiel, it talks about the cherubim.
Mm-hmm.
If cherubim are angels, if that's an order of angel, then they do have wings, because mm-hmm. the cherubim have wings. On the other hand, Hebrews, like we said earlier, be careful how you treat strangers, because some of them are angels without you knowing it. So they look like normal humans without wings. Mm-hmm. So I think the only time it talks about wings is on cherubim. And are cherubim angels, mm-hmm. or are they a special order of creatures that God made? So I think, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is it okay to take the Lord's Supper at other churches?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm a Lutheran. I believe in what's called the real presence, that mm-hmm. Jesus is really present in, with, and under the bread and wine. I think it's bread and wine, but in, with, and under the bread and wine is the real presence of Christ. Baptists have a different view that Jesus is, it's a symbolic thing. Jesus is not literally present in there. And my response is, Jesus is literally present everywhere. Mm-hmm. How much more so in the body and the blood and the bread and the wine? Should you take, I think you should honor what, I mean, I remember years and years ago, my dad was Catholic. Mm-hmm. I went back to Omaha, and kind of nostalgic. I went to my dad's church, and I said to the priest, can I take communion here? Mm-hmm. And I'm a Lutheran. He said, nope. So their rule is you don't. And if you go to some Lutheran churches, their rule is you shouldn't take communion here unless you believe like we do and you're a member of the church. I honor and respect that, because
right.
1 Corinthians 11 says if you take communion wrong, you can be drinking judgment to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm not quite as a stickler on this as some Lutherans are, mm-hmm. but there you go.
Well, Pastor Brock, we're
yeah.
out of questions unless I have some on this other page here.
Well,
but
we do, but you know, we've only got 1 minute.
Okay.
So let's do an update
sure.
for our listeners. Everybody, we're on the air because of your generous giving and the way we're on the air because of God, but God uses you to keep us on the air. So if God nudges you to support our ministry, we're on more now than ever. All over the country, and it's because of people just loving our message and giving. So thank you for your prayers. Thanks for your giving. If you're nudged, there is the place you can give us support, or you can see our address in a minute on the screen. Also, if you want to see this show again or other shows we've done in the past, you can watch them all for free anytime by, again, going to pastorstudy.org, and then you hit the YouTube button, you see all of our shows. But just, you know, we've also got people praying for us. We have an email ministry now, and if you want to join that, just send us a message saying, I want to join your prayer group, and we send out emails periodically, and people pray for us. So that's it, Mona.
Thank you for joining us today. May you be blessed, and until next week, God bless.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.